Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome to Home Run. As always, this time of the day, you know who you're going to be rocking with from 4 o'clock, that is until the hour of 6, that's Monday to Friday here on Eagle FM. And of course, that's your favorite duo, Helmut and Dwight, here keeping you company until the hour of 6, where one topic at a time. I mean, from Monday to Friday, we're just going another one. And then we have a separate another one every Sunday, but wherever it is that you are tuned in from, thank you very much for tuning in, and we shall surely keep it home run-ish, entertainment-ish as possible to make sure that, you know, you don't fall asleep. So today's subject is one that is very relatable to many, if not all, people. Let me just say today's subject is one that is relatable to everyone, either directly or indirectly. We're going to talk about the advanced subsidiary level, one that is, confusing a lot of us with regards to trying to sort of like wrap our minds around what is this AS thing. Now, we know it stands for advanced subsidiary, because every time that we talk about AS, we like to, to point that out. AS stands for advanced subsidiary. But then when they get into the, rah-rah-rah part of things in relation to describing what it is, so it's a lot of things gets, some of us basically get lost in, mid-explanation. Okay, we have about a 27 to 30 minutes audio here of an expert basically in the field of education explaining that. So, which you are going to be listening to, just after the short introduction that yours truly, Helmut and Dwight, are going to run through. AS level or advanced subsidiary level, and if you guessed where it's from and your guess was, from the British, and you'd be right. The British exported the whole thing. Basically, what it is an academic qualification. It is an academic qualification in the same way that, IGCSE is, or HIGCSE for those of you that went to, did that curriculum or studied for those qualifications. And by the time that I reached high school, we were doing NSSCO, that's for ordinary level. But all this, the same way that you have IGCSE, NSSCO, NSSCO, NSSCH, is that the high level one, the A level. Now, the A level is the top tier, and below A level is the AS level. Now, that's your advanced subsidiary. So, in other words, your advanced subsidiary is just it's just second from A. It's just a second from the big guy on the block in this case, who is A level. But without wasting time, let's introduce you to Dr. Eva Panduleni Biekes, who will explain, she's the expert in this subject, hence the doctor title. Who sat with yours truly, Dwight, to basically iron out a few things, more like, how do I put this, where she is explaining in detail from an expert point of view as to what this whole confusing AS thing is. And it's a pretty lengthy one, and that means it contains all that you need to know about AS level. So stay tuned. You're still listening to Home Run with Helmut. And of course, we're just going to have to listen to the whole thing, the whole explanation of what AS level is and what it is not. What it is and what it is not. And we'll continue with Home Run on the other side. Do stay tuned. You are listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM.
And welcoming to this discussion here on Eagle FM, once again, where we always bring you the insightful discussions from all walks of life and specifically looking at various interesting sectors and developments. I first have to introduce my on-air guest, dear listeners, and that being Dr. Eva Bandoleni Birkes, who is an educational expert. She is also in charge of the Science Mathematics Program, which is a youth hub entity in its own right. But our discussion, firstly, before we actually start with the talk, I've got to welcome my guest. Doctor, thank you for taking the time and welcome to this discussion that we've got here planned on Eagle FM.
Thank you very much for having me.
100%. Now, Doctor, as we obviously start off on our talk, just to give a background for our listeners, we're obviously going to be looking at demystifying the advanced subsidiary levels of education that is now currently going, I think, in its fourth year or fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll correct me, Doctor, because you're obviously been the one that has seen and engaged with the stakeholders, that being parents and the learners on the ground. So the demystification, Doctor, if we can start like the nitty-gritties first. Where do we find ourselves and what is the mystery and also the misperception specifically about the AS levels that you would have encountered and seen in the broader Namibian context?
Okay, so I think a lot of parents are still not sure what exactly the AS level is. Mm. Now, if we think back, and I have to think about the age of our listeners, and I have to take my age into consideration.
I think, Doctor, you have to put us all there, Doctor.
Well, without trying to show my age too much, when I was in high school, I finished with the so-called Cambridge system, the HICSE.
Mm.
So back then, we also had the IGCSE and the higher IGCSE. Namibia then went on. I'm not so sure what happened in the late 2000s. I think there might have been a change. I was away. I wasn't in the country then, so I'm not sure about that. But when I came back, there was still the ordinary level and the higher level. Now, if we look at this, for those that remember the IGCSE, the ICSE and the HICSE system, the AS level is very similar to the HICSE system.
Mm. Is it similar to the higher or the standard one, the ICSE, the IG?
The higher one.
Mm.
So the grade 11, what we have is the IGCSE or the ordinary level, the NSSCO, that is equivalent to the IGCSE. A lot of people say, but it's the Namibian system versus the Cambridge system. But what they don't know is that both systems are accredited by the same examination board.
Mm.
So the Namibian system is based on the so-called Cambridge system.
Mm.
Their syllabi are similar. The topics that they do are similar. There's a difference, and I can come back to that, what the disadvantages are of the Namibian side. But just to explain, so what happened back in the day in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, was students chose the IGCSE route or the higher IGCSE route, which is the HICSE. The ones that chose HICSE, or you could also choose some subjects on HICSE, some subjects on ICSE.
Mm.
The ones that chose the HICSE were predominantly those ones that knew they wanted to go to university.
Mm.
So it was a higher level preparing you for tertiary education, as in university, right? But the thing is, most schools started preparing you on the system in grade 11. So it was a two-year program.
Mm.
Our school started even earlier. We started in grade 10. So the difference is that because it's preparing you for university, it emphasizes on more analytical thinking, problem solving, and things like that. The NSSCO that was in the 2010s, that stopped 2020, I think. Yeah, 2020 was the last year.
Yeah.
So that was a similar system. It's also you've got your standard grade and your higher grade. What changed with the grade 11 system, they kept the NSSCO, changed, made a few changes. That is equivalent to the private school ICSE, IGCSE.
Yeah.
But the AS level is a very good system for preparing you for university. The issue comes in, as it was with the higher level and the ICSE. The issue comes in until grade 11.
Yeah.
Most schools prepare you to
exit.
Not to exit.
Yeah.
It prepares all the students to the same level.
Mm.
Irrespective of whether you're a poor performer or an academic achiever.
Mm.
So those that are academically better off, they then go to AS level. But now the issue with AS level is, and I really like the system, I love the syllabus and things like that.
Mm.
The issue is that you've got 9 months to develop analytical thinking and problem solving skills that you were not prepared for before this.
Yeah. We're obviously assuming, Doctor, that the learner, the teenager, you know, that they are focused on their work and, you know, nothing else is happening in their brain cells. Because I'm projecting what I experienced playing sport, being sidetracked with friends and other distractions and stuff like that. And then obviously you find out, oh my goodness, I've got an end of year exam, by September. So I'm assuming that teenager probably, you know, they understand that time frame, right?
The thing is, what I've experienced in the last few years, and I'm not going to use a bad word on air, but they are so flippin' scared that they concentrate. And the thing is, that actually leads to procrastination because they're so overwhelmed with the work. They're studying constantly, but they don't know how to study.
Yeah.
And then they procrastinate.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's not that the system is a bad system. The system is that it should be implemented, according to me, at a younger age.
Mm.
Because we know, okay, I knew I wanted to go to university. A lot of these students know they want to go to university. But now they get thrown in the deep end in the final year of school.
Mm.
And it's really quite shocking. The first time that many of them fail.
Mm.
You know, and the first term is the worst usually because they see all these red marks in their exams. So you also have to, you have to work with that teenage mind and try to console them and try to build that confidence. Because I tutor students, so I have to kind of, you know, say, it's okay, it's okay, it's not your fault.
Mm.
It's the system that is giving you too much in too short a time.
Okay, so it's basically like cramming in too little time, too much work, basically.
Yeah. And changing the thing is, the biggest thing is changing the way you think, because you have to think a lot more analytically. And what you see is a lot of the private schools are now extending their AS level.
Mm.
They are introducing the IGCSE exams earlier so that they've got longer time to concentrate on the AS level, because it's almost like rewiring your brain.
Mm. Now, Doctor, I know I sort of like sidetracked you from your original train of thought just before, you know, the mini projection I did in terms of also thinking back to my teenage years in terms of, you know, my shortcomings in terms of being distracted by many things. But
yes.
I want to bring you back on track with the demystification and the misperception scenario. So the first explanation you gave, was it based on a scenario that we can basically look at the original Cambridge system that Namibia had up until, I think, was it 2009, 2008?
Because
my younger brother told me that they were one of the last of the Cambridge cohort in that period. When we look at that, is the AS level supposed to be sort of like I almost want to say a continuation of that. Basically, you say it's similar, but not similar.
Yes, I think it is quite similar. There might be, you know, I didn't sit there and pinpoint the differences in the syllabi.
Yeah.
But I think it's a similar concept. And it's a similar concept that we've, like, that a lot of schools have had over the years. Basically, it's a standard grade going on to a higher grade.
Mm.
But what I am saying is I like the AS curriculum.
Mm.
And like the HICSE curriculum, although some people will also maybe disagree. But the thing is that if you want people to be successful, then start them earlier.
Mm.
Now, we can go into ECD and things like that, and I can be here all day talking about that, but I'm just talking from a high school perspective. Start the AS will be a lot more successful if we start preparing them earlier.
Yeah.
Because the grade 11, the ordinary level, is not as analytical. And not as you know,
as demanding,
you don't have
basically.
Not as demanding.
Yeah.
As the AS. So it's just, if the AS were to be a lot more successful, we would treat it like we've done in the past, where we have students choosing, they want to go the AS route,
mm.
perhaps at the end of grade 9 or grade 10 or something like that.
Mm.
And then, you know, they get trained in that field or in that path. And then if they feel that they struggle, they can still drop certain subjects to the standard level, which is the ordinary level.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Doctor, with regards to the confusion, the demystification, it obviously also further it gets compounded. Like I've tried to understand what is a pass, what is a fail? In terms of the ranking or the scores that the learners got, because I remember back in 2021, and this is now obviously roping in some of the political comments that, you know, went wild on social media, is that people thought that, okay, for us, the Cambridge guys, because I'm obviously going to use a template here. The Cambridge guys, like you and myself, we knew that if you failed English, you could have passed everything else. You could have passed it with flying colors. But if you failed the English, you failed the whole year. And the first thing is, no one can still till the day, for example, like myself as a radio journalist, tell me categorically, it's still the same rule. If you fail English, you fail your whole year or you fail your whole exam. And also, what is constituted as an actual pass? Can you shed some light on that particular sort of like, because I also noticed that that's where some of the confusion for the parents, not because we're past the demystification, but the confusion for the parents starts from is, what is a win? What is a loss?
Okay. Are you talking now from the grade 11 going to AS or AS going to university?
Both, in terms of both, because I've heard of the nightmare in the grade 11, and then there's the nightmare in AS.
Okay.
I call it the nightmare because the parents were complaining, not the kids.
Yeah. Okay. I've got bad news for you, because I think you're gonna remain mystified.
Yeah.
Because there is no clear. If you listen to what the ministry says or what the minister says, there is no fail. There is no pass. Which obviously that doesn't really make sense. I'm sorry to say that, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So for a student to obtain grades in the state school system, the necessary grades to go to AS level, they need to obtain a C or higher in that specific subject.
Mm.
So it's not the point system that works. It depends on which subject you want to continue. Did you get a C or higher? If you did, then you can continue with that subject on AS level. And now a lot of people say, yeah, but this kid got this and this amount of points in the system. The reason that people continue with a C or higher is BS level is so demanding. So the chances of you passing the AS level with a C, a mark lower than a C is very low, because that means you don't even have the foundations of the ordinary level.
Yeah.
With regards to university acceptance. That is also another, because it changes from year to year. Mm. So there, in that sense, there is no I passed, I failed. In that sense, it's against me or each university field that you want to go to, and that is stipulated by the respective universities.
Yeah.
So it is. So, like I said, it's not clear cut. I'm probably not making a lot more sense. I think if you've got F or lower, that's a fail, or if you cannot go to the next level, then that's an obvious fail. But the ministry does not agree with that, and a lot of people do not agree with it.
And obviously, the word fail is obviously something that is very entrenched, for example, in the Namibian education system, because we all have heard of the word fail, no matter what generation. Mm-hmm. So if we have to also potentially try and explain that non-failure element, Doctor, because my sister has a friend whose daughter decided to exit at grade 11 last year. Was a little bit of a surprise, because obviously if you know your friend's children and likes, mm-hmm. you feel you're part of the community setup, and they feel, you know, obviously also vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision in the modern day element, that as we look at how education has to try and play that role for the economic goals that Namibia wants to achieve. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm just trying to ask slightly for your opinion in terms of why would some children or some teenagers elect the exit at grade 11 and not elect to possibly go for the AS advancement, you know, to get the further skills to be able to cross the bridge into the higher education realm when they literally become 18 or 19.
It's a combination of two things. It's fear. Mm-hmm. And it's distrust in the education system, because obviously they, and this is what I experience from my perspective. There might be other things. I'm not a psychologist or claiming to be like that, but I speak to my students openly, and I obviously always push for the AS system, that students go for it if they can. Not just because they have to go to university, but it is good for character building and, I mean, character development and mental development as well. But they hear from all their peers in previous years that they failed, that they are failing, that they are struggling, that, you know, it is so tough. And those that make it through then go to university. It prepares them a lot better for university. And then they say, university, AS was easy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like with everything in life, it builds up. And then you've got things, things like where teachers are not properly prepared for teaching AS level.
Mm.
I've had students told me that their teachers are using ChatGPT because they also don't understand certain things, and they use that to explain it to them.
Yeah.
Or they, when the students are asking them or asking, you know, which is the whole point of AS is to push analytical thinking. So if you are questioning something, the teacher should be able to either say, no, I made a mistake there, which I often do, even though I'm as a scientist, I should know my science, but I also make mistakes.
Mm.
And if someone asks me a question that I don't know exactly, then I say, I haven't thought of it or something like that. But now, if you have teachers that are inadequately trained or not to the right level, they feel intimidated that they cannot teach this thing, that they cannot, because it's higher than they are experienced. And so, you know, they put the blame on the students. They retaliate, making condescending remarks and things like that.
Mm.
And so the younger kids hear from their friends, their older friends or siblings, and then they decide, I'm not going to put myself through this.
Oh, so it goes down the, literally the old saying that we've known since the 80s and 70s, all down the vines, you know, hearing the perceptions of your peers, and this gets reinforced as it goes on. Because it's literally the same thing that I saw, doctor, like you just explained it now, because this, she's now 18. She explained it like this, and I stood there just as a silent observer going like, wow, so this means that even teenagers have very little trust specifically in the whole education system before we even reach higher education. But doctor, I want us to move on from that particular point, because I wanted sort of like someone's perspective on why do we also see this mystification, or, you know, the mystery perpetuate even into the actual learner. Because the next question I'm trying to understand here is obviously, I spoke once to a friend who, and I asked in terms of what was AS levels like for them, because St. Paul's, you know, just to use them as a benchmark, they had AS levels for them was a 13th year at after grade 12, not your 12th year within your standard 12 years of education. Now, in terms of that, doctor, did that system, when you had the extra add-on year, is it something that allows for the comfort of, you know, working at a adequate pace versus the possible scenario of that this looks like it is crammed into a small time frame for this teenager to now adjust to get ready to be the empowered, in inverted commas, individual that Namibia wants to then bridge into the university gap?
Yeah, well, St. Paul's has since changed. They are doing their AS level
also in 12
in grade
years.
12. Yeah, but they've now, like I said, they've brought the IGCSE earlier. So they first switched it to a year and a half program, and they saw that even that was inadequate. So this is the last year that they're now, I need to think, grade 11s, their current grade 11s, that's in their IGCSE final exams, and they are going into AS level
in the 12th year.
July, August. Well, now mid-year.
Okay.
Yes, mid-year. So they'll be doing it in a year and a half. But they found that it was not long enough, so now they've switched it. The current grade 10s at St. Paul's will now finish at the end of this year, and they will be doing AS level in 2 years.
Okay, so it sounds similar to what the public school system is trying to implement now, right?
Well, I don't know whether I've not heard from that they are going to do it over 2 years.
Okay.
I saw that the last I heard from the ministry was that the AS level is under review, but I've not heard that it's going to be over 2 years.
Yeah. So
I would definitely suggest that that it is over 2 years and even earlier.
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted to ask that particular question was because we know that education systems, they change, they morph. And just on that particular note, doctor, and this is obviously also before we end up on our discussion, what does the AS levels try to achieve? I mean, and there's now obviously some talk, for example, that Finland has one of the best education systems. A country like India that has had education for as much as as old as the world has been, how they are now trying to look at whether or not the Finnish system would better work for, you know, these new skills in tech and in working with your hands for the teenagers. What are the most of the aims? Because Cambridge says here they're trying to empower or trying to bring in the analytical thinking component that you highlighted. And I looked at this age gap distribution thing that they had here. There's a little graph here. And then it's all about, you know, trying to reinforce at each age level. So they go about age, which is also corresponds to the grades, and then how to empower the young person at every level. What do you see, doctor, in this scenario? It's actually two questions that I'm asking. Sorry, it's actually two I'm asking,
Well, okay. First of all, the AS level is and the way the Cambridge system is set up now, or the CIE. I don't know whether it's actually linked to Cambridge University.
No, it is. It is, because I have the website open here in front of me, just to be sure what I'm also talking about.
No. There is some gray area. I'm talking from the But anyway, let's not go into that now. That's for another day's discussion. This is purely on an academic level. So this is focusing on system is focusing on academics and, you know, for academic excellence.
Yeah.
Whereas then you ask the other system, I mean, you've got similar systems, like you refer to the Finnish system and in general. Mm. There are a few countries also like Germany and things like that are also motivating working with your hands,
skills development
skills development, tradesmen, and things like that. Now that's obviously very good, but that would mean the revamping of our education system. We have our vocational training centers, but then that you know, how well developed is it, and also the requirements, even from a school perspective, because you find, you know, we used to have Pioneers Boys School and, you know, those schools, but even people that have kids that are struggling academically say that they are struggling to get their kids into these vocational schools.
Yeah, like Augustinium, was MNK Gertze, who else was there? HTS in academia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So these kind of schools. But this has also got to do with overpopulation. But the question that is now opening a whole other...
different question, discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I agree with revamping it that way, but essentially, whether it's academic support, whether you focus academics, whether you focus on improving vocational training, any education system needs the support, you know, and it needs a good foundational support, which is also lacking in this country.
Mm.
And that is now also a completely different discussion.
Mm.
But, you know, so if you are looking at different education systems, by all means, you know, we can promote anything that is beneficial to Namibia, but we need to do it properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Doctor, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us and the listeners. Even though it was a little bit condensed, and even though I promised that I would have only kept you for 20 minutes, thank you for the extra. Thank you also for the extra insight. So once again.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
So there you have it, dear listeners. So we pick up from here and continue with the Home Run as usual. Of course, building up on the wonderful wisdom shared by Dr. Eva Panduleni Pierkes, who is an expert, like I pointed out earlier, on this subject. And I hope you were all listening. Now we continue from here. We have all been in a situation where you now have to decide what is it that, that starts from, those conversations starts from high school, when you're going through high school, or more like you start from as early, it can even, start earlier than that. Where you start either asking yourself or being asked, what would you like to do when you grow up? And when you're in high school, that question changes from what would you like to do when you grow up to what would you like to specialize in, like what line of work do you see yourself as, more like participating in overall? Yeah, what would you like to become? Do you want to be a doctor, an engineer, a terrorist? But no one asked that last one.
Why did you slide in a terrorist in there?
No. Look, I just don't understand how people decide to become that. Because
well, many people also didn't ask Pol Pot, do you want to be a dictator who, you know, goes and kills thousands of his own
people. People. That's one thing that's just interesting.
Yeah.
Now, look, the thing is, career choice can be very difficult to pinpoint, especially when you're coming from high school. And, actually, as you just try to wrap up high school and prepare for college or university, that's what's making me look at the AS level as sort of like, a way to help out, a student who is in high school try to find out their academic strength so that they don't try to figure that out when they're in college. Because that's a whole different ballgame. Because now you have take for example the curriculum that I went through. That's the NSSCO. That's the Namibia Senior Secondary Certificate. You have 9 subjects to all the way up to grade 10 at the time, and then from grade 10, when you go to as you pass through to grade, that's if you survive the knockout, and then. I know that's very brutal. So after you survive that, you are now in grade 11 and 12, and you have those 2 years to figure out what are your strengths and weaknesses that you are going to actually pursue, and then you take on your strength that will take you all the way to college.
Mm.
Now, for you to qualify to university, you have to pass all the 6 subjects that you're doing from grade 11 and 12. But even then, still, a lot of us found ourselves in tertiary, not knowing what to do. Believe me. That's why, I'm sure I'm not the only one that have a track record of after leaving high school, they tried multiple fields of study before settling for one.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I think, qualifications like AS levels, is one of those things that is going to some degree, if not to a larger extent, help students streamline their strengths and weaknesses so they know what their strengths are and then build up on that as they go from high school through to tertiary.
It's primarily, the educational career path is obviously a key point, Helmut, that you highlighted there. But what I also just read now is literally when you've got to try and understand an education ecosystem, it's also one in terms of that starts from the pre-primary level or from that, as they now call it, early childhood level. And then it has to cascade upwards to the university level. So it has to be a feeding, it's a system of 3 or 4 levels. So kindergarten /ECD. Is level 1, and then primary level 2, and then secondary level 3, and higher education level 3, being the fourth level, level 4. Now, if you look at it in these levels, it's basically a pipeline, which was the lifelong learning, basically, discussion we had the other day. Because this is how, on average, this is supposed to be 17 years of an educational pipeline that the human has to go. Just to highlight this particular trend, because there's a grade 0 between grade 1 and kindergarten that the child, that the young Namibian has to start from. So from the kindergarten level cascading into that grade 0 level, and I don't know how a grade is known as grade 0. I'm not going to debate
it's
the level.
Obviously below grade 1. Come on.
But I'm not going to debate the level. I'm not going to, nor the label. The level, nor the label. I'm not going to debate it. But it is just slightly weird-ish, specifically that parents have a great worry, Helmut. If you've ever seen specifically parents who now have to understand, has their child got the adequate basic skills to qualify for grade 0 in a school?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, parents who are slightly more privileged, meaning they've got a lot more money, know how, and they wish to put their kids through private schools in Namibia. They know you know, what the, where to go specifically for that. But when it comes to the public school system scenario, it's a question of participating in the public school setup, which most of us have. How do you know that your child is ready for school? And have you seen the stress that parents experience, Helmut? Stress, literally stress, for grade zero. When they try to understand, is the child ready? Can the child do this? Can the child? And this includes things like the child being able to even use the bathroom themselves in some cases. Basic things like that. Or being able to, you know, function within the other group of kids within the class. But grade zero, to many people, might sound like kindergarten. But it technically is not kindergarten, guys, because this is an extra level that's brought in at the start of everything for that child's actual education career through the school system of Namibia. But now, I'm talking about the start over there. And our particular question was obviously about secondary level at the end, the exiting, because these two are basically the longest time frame you'll be wearing school uniform for. Everyone just recognizes the school uniform culture or tradition that we had to experience. Which, in its own way, Helmut, is a little bit of a... Have you ever... Okay, but we've got an ad break keeping up on us.
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 6.6-liter platinum digital air fryer for only 999 Namibian dollars 99. That's a big deal. And 200 grams Nescafe Classic Roast instant coffee for a low 135 Namibian dollars 99. Valid until 7 June 2026. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Right. Plus, you could stand to win one of 250 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three or more participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 7 June. T's and C's apply.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We continue with Home Run here on Eagle FM. That's with Helmut and Dwight. Now before the break.
Yeah. So just to highlight to the listeners as well, if you guys ever realize that the uniform system is a manner, it's a specific kind of an identity element.
That, as a psychological aspect.
Yeah. It removes the individual, the individualistic or individualism element from a child's particular character, because the children are told, comb your hair, tie your hair, cut your hair, look presentable, clean school clothes, and you're wearing this uniform for 5 days of your week, from 7:30 to sometimes 5 if they have after school events and activities at school.
Yeah.
So it's the easiest. So basically, it's basically like you said, Helmut, from a psychological perspective, it obviously leads into this understanding the identity of the school is one thing.
Yeah.
Now, that also is like many of the other sort of like three or four talking points that we stumbled upon, the doctor and I, in our conversation. That in itself is also another conversation that you have to put one side, because obviously it's a given. So you move past that particular fact, you know. School uniform has got basically nothing to do with this discussion about finishing your year 11 and now, which is your year 12, but basically now like this next qualifying round situation at the end. Now, we heard now, so far, from basically the greater voices throughout Namibia, the doctor seems to be the only one that loves this AS levels setup. I'll be honest with you, Helmut, I was confused. Mm-hmm. I tried understanding it, and even back in 2021, and even with the discussion I had with the one of the people who was invited at one stage to the starting, sort of like the initial steps by the Ministry of Education back then. At that stage, they were not, they were still known as Basic Education before their name of Ministry of Education, Arts and Culture. And obviously, their name was now MASAC. Mm-hmm. But back then, they were still Basic Education in 2011, 2010-ish, thereabout. Because this discussion of the AS levels literally comes through from an education conference that was held back then. And at that education conference level, various educators, lecturers, people in the realm of teaching were invited, and they had to give inputs. I'm probably privileged to, you know, privileged to highlight this, that I know someone who actually was there. Mm-hmm. Besides our current minister and many of the other staff in the ministry itself, but someone who was actually there. And this person is a lecturer also on university level here in Namibia. The downside is, we didn't see a report or a major report or any kind of thing that looks like a industry impacting report. Because even though, Helmut, we are, you know, we are now in our discussion of the home run, we cherish reports, because a report shows a position, and the report also takes stock of the same position. But we didn't know what was our position back in 2011. We also didn't know when the AS levels came about. Why are we doing this in 2021/2022? Thereabout. And ultimately, what are we trying to align ourselves? Now, the doctor obviously highlighted just now that the nice thing is, we suppose, you know, it seems like the Namibia's AS levels is similar to the Cambridge system. But technically, when you look at the sort of like the coverage element regarding this, education, Namibia's education into trying to copy what the Cambridge system tries to be, in terms of that it's like it becomes like a global standard exported by from the UK. The unfortunate thing is, we don't even we don't feature on the list of the Cambridge website, the Cambridge Education, Cambridge International Education website, because there are a list of countries that technically allow for study opportunities if you've completed your, as a teenager, your whatever education system in your country, and you're part of this Cambridge network of education, of this education system, you can basically go and study in various countries around the world. That was one of the questions I basically also, you know, should have also asked, but because we also aim to produce Namibians who can go and work in any part of the world.
Now, that's where the discussion becomes interesting.
Because we have to ask this question. The first thing that you've got to ask is, can Namibians work in any part of the world? That is a resounding yes. Namibians can. There is no hurdle that Namibians cannot basically participate in. However, it seems like we are told Namibia is the be-all and end-all. Now, for the listeners who don't know, the reason why I call the guest that we had in terms of the interview a doctor is because she's a chemist, as she explained. So she's a scientist in terms of her skill set and her training, and you know what she studied for. If you also read, if you had the opportunity of reading also her particular professional profile, she studied in Scotland, in the UK. That's where she studied chemistry. Now, I ask you this particular question, Helmut, because the doctor herself, and there's a whole bunch of other Namibians who have studied and experienced other parts of the world in terms of economics, earnings, as well as also the kinds of lives that are lived there. And when they come to Namibia, you realize Namibia feels like a farm. I'll be honest with my country. Namibia feels like a farm. I mean, I met a guy just yesterday, Helmut, just last night, at that particular public lecture discussion that I went to. And he also now recently went to China as a Namibian. He's a media guy as well. And the same guy also said, when he got off the plane here at Osia Kutako, he was like, why did I come back to this farm?
Because that farm is your country.
That farm is your country. That farm issued you the passport as well.
Yeah.
But when you look at this particular scenario now, I have spoken about modernization. We have spoken about modernization before.
Yeah.
But it seems like our rate of modernization is just taking too long, Helmut. Now, we're supposed to be unlocking the modernization through our education system. But it's not just education alone that should be the unlocking feature. The other unlocking elements should be aspects in terms of, for example, why don't we start investing in smaller towns and in smaller urban centers? I also came from another particular talking point just now where I asked a particular... Okay, I didn't ask that. That's not a question I asked, but it was another talking point in terms of understanding the label of middlemen for regional electricity distributors. It was a media engagement by the ECB just earlier today. And the head of the economics department, that being Mr. Pinyas Mutota, highlighted specifically that the consumer, that being us now, sometimes looks in the regions that have regional electricity distributors, view the electricity distributors as a additional add-on. It's the same word, basically. Like an additional cost element or feature onto the overall price of an electricity unit that they buy, you know, or pay for per month.
The middleman discussion.
The middleman discussion, or the middleman perception, should I rather say. Now, why am I highlighting that particular component as well? It's because we are not advancing certain discussions forward in terms of unlocking new opportunities through the degrees in the education system that we are still busy maintaining and obviously, you know, still building up. Because in certain scenarios, we are not seeing the low-hanging fruit that we need to advance to or that we need to go to. Let's also start from a particular talking point of that example that I mentioned last year, the Austrian student, the Austrian learner that was shot at his school, that was killed at school. Mm-hmm. And then we found out it's a 10-year-old who's already in high school. And then you and I sat here frowning, going like, how is a 10-year-old in high school? But then we forgot that we're thinking in a Namibian term of what high school for Namibians are, which is from the age of 14. You're supposed to become 14 in that year. And in Austria, it is from the age of 10 that you're in high school. So if you just shift the levels in terms of where your grade is and under what particular cycle of your school career path you are in, it's just basically shifting levels. That's all it is. And we were both shocked in the studio because we were going like, how is a 10-year-old in high school? But that's the Austrian education system. That is also the particular scenario that we also need to look at in terms of Namibia. Now, at the start of this year of 2025, the ministry, the super ministry, MISAC, also highlighted that they are also reviewing, after a 5-year period, the advanced subsidiary curriculum, itself countrywide, in terms of looking at, the performance levels, and that they've also noted that since 2021, performance apparently is still below the 2021 peak. And primarily that we've got a recurring theme coming out from the education realm, specifically from learners who try to understand whether or not the teacher standing in front of them in the classroom, trying to prepare them for the next grade or for the next level in their career, paths, whether or not the teacher is adequately empowered or trained to be teaching the AS level or to be preparing the learners for the AS level the next year. So it is a very it is very comforting to hear specifically from someone outside the education system, primarily, who also demystified the aspect in terms of the 13th year as an AS level. You know, if you still look at the education system pipeline that we used to experience, Hamoud, you had your 12 years of being on school, and then the thinking back then that I know of, because I had a far-off cousin that also did A-levels, but he did it like as a 13th year after grade 12.
Mm-hmm.
And here we've got it into the 12-year time frame, or which would also be part of the 13-year time frame, because your grade zero is your first year, technically, in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at this path that is being walked, or that a child has to go through, we have to ask the particular question, are we hitting the targets? Now, 70%, apparently, in 2025. Okay, it says specifically that the Namibia Senior Secondary Advanced subsidiary candidates graded in at least three subjects stood at 70%. They were, graded at least in three.
Commercial break.
Okay, my turn. Hold on, just let me finish my story. As I was saying, my man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm. Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short. Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long. Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. Now,
yeah, but
please finish your sentence.
The shock that I just read.
Yeah.
So, dear listeners, at the start of this year, specifically, the language that was used, obviously, in some of the information, the literature I've got here in front of me, is that the 70% I just read out is technically when you showed up at the exam hall. It doesn't say that you've passed at least three subjects. It literally says here, graded in at least three subjects. To be graded means you just sat. You were recorded for sitting. So that means 30% of the learners in 2025 actually passed. Well, not even pass. I can't even use the word passing, because it technically describes a scenario that at least 30% of the learners nationally sat down for all six subjects that they had to sit for. And nationally, the opposite of the 30% was 70% showed up only for three out of the six, which was below the 2021 mark of 76%. That is not a win in any scenario. Helmut, I cannot defend this. You know, today I didn't want to be the bad cop, because it's education. We're supposed to be seeing that, you know, a massive white tunnel at the end of set, or massive white light at the end of the tunnel, which was supposed to shout to opportunities that we have to collect. But this does not sound like any kind of opportunity of any kind, in any manner.
You know, I think to understand, at least this is how I look at, you know, at things like AS level.
Yeah.
To understand the significance behind the implementation of qualifications like AS level, you have to look at the history of education in terms of qualification. What type of qualifications were offered, at least to the, because during apartheid, there was this whole split in qualification. Basically the entire academic, academic sphere was split in two. So it's either you're white and you climbed the ladder as high as it could go in terms of academics. And if you were black, you were only, only taken to a certain level, you can read and write, and you're told, you know what, you're fine.
Mm.
But we now live in an independent Namibia, and we have a lot of international relations. We have, thanks to technology, we are now talking about coming to, you know, being part of the, well, of the global village.
Mm.
And we want to be part of the, you know, okay, we want to unite Africa in terms of economics, you know, in terms of economics and basically, well, travels, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
Now, except, that's a very good thing to do. And as far as the world is coming together, that is inevitable.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Now, the question is, are we prepared to fit in? Because that is a very big and large club. Now, the point I'm making here is, if you look back to, one of the flex that Iran showed us in their negotiation with the U.S. is their negotiation team.
Mm.
The whole crew had advanced degrees.
Yeah, most of them were past masters.
Exactly. They all had a PhD, 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 PhD. Now, the thing is, that's showing that, you are dealing with a country that has an education system that's in the ionosphere, and you just one friend of mine who told me that when they were in parts of Asia, I'm not sure if it's China or South Korea, they were running into people that were in my age range and even younger who had master's degrees. Some of them had PhDs. Now, what that is showing you and I is that academic wise, We're gonna have to pull up our socks. And yeah. If you ask me, AS level is one way that we are trying to pull up our socks. And we are not even there on the A level yet, which is offered in a lot of Africa. But mostly European countries. What level is offered? It's not really as important as the advancement of that level in terms of research and development.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, please go through that story of the type of mathematics over here.
The type of... No, I'm reading here of O levels and GCSEs to understand what are we trying to do? Okay, the first one that I sent you.
Mathematics in Namibia and India.
Okay, guys, so... Off air during the interview, I explained to Helmut the same particular source that was also part of the 2011-2010-ish education conference that took place back then, highlighted at one stage, because he was in a massive debate with my eldest brother, who was at this time an editor. And the debate was about the level of mathematics. Now, This particular friend of my brother came and said, "Hey, listen, man, this is not right. The Namibian education system can literally do more." Now, usually I'm always a silent observer, Helmut, because I stand there next and I observe, okay, where's this conversation going? You know, there's some fuel, there's some actual fuel here. Let me listen. And he said, look, guys, the level of maths taught in Namibia, and I was, I had just finished the marketing diploma of mine at Polytechnic. He said the level of maths that the first year IT and the first year engineering students in Namibia specifically, he obviously was talking about Polytechnic because he worked there first.
Yeah.
That he said the level of maths taught for such highly technical fields. No, the fields.
Yeah.
The level of maths,
so it's just the engineering fields.
Yeah, because he was obviously starting from the engineering and the IT fields.
Yeah,
he started from the level of maths taught here is the maths that is supposed to be on somewhere in the middle of high school, but literally between your last year on primary school and high school.
Are supposed to do calculus in high school?
Well, Helmut, the man is from India. The man comes from Tamil Nadu in India. One of the hubs in India, specifically, that has one of the oldest universities in the world.
Yeah.
And the Indians were the guys that contributed actually to mathematics, the field of mathematics.
A whole lot. And
because
actually they are not given enough credit on that.
And it's their maths that was transferred to the Arab world in the Middle East. And the Arabs went and transferred that maths onto the Romans.
Europeans. Yeah, the Romans. And that's when it found it, that's how it found itself in.
Yeah. So when we look at knowledge, when someone comes and tells you from 5,000 years ago, and obviously with their ancestors, obviously having been exposed to maths left, right, and center, when someone comes and tells you, but guys, you wish to achieve industrialization, but this is the level of maths you have on university.
In other words, if you want to achieve industrialization, you're going to have to
ramp up the work. Kick up the work. Do you know what I was shown in high school, Ahmed, when we still had the Cambridge system, the higher grade and the normal grade, the IGCSE?
Yeah.
My biology, it was my biology and he had another subject that he offered us. My biology teacher showed us the Hixie textbook in South Africa. It's a textbook that was not in Namibia.
Yeah.
And they also couldn't offer biology on Hixie level in Namibia, or specifically for my school, because I heard just last night from that other conversation that I left a little bit earlier for, that you will always have prestigious zones in Namibia's education landscape, which is private schools first, the former white schools second, and then come the other urban schools, for example, like in the townships, and then come the rural schools that will always be last. And based on that grading, who gets the best allocation of said particular resource allocations? And from that particular discussion, some schools, like my former alma mater, St. Taurus, was a former white school.
Yeah.
Because if you go to that school, Helmut, you'll be impressed by the halls, by the sports facilities they had.
Past tense. Yes.
And then when you look at where the institution or the facility is today, that's just the hardware, you're going like, okay, so what happened there between here up to here? Now, okay, I'm digressing a little bit. Now,
you can say that a lot.
He explained, that's my biology teacher at the time, he explained that South Africa was also experimenting at the same time in 2002 with, what was the thing's name, with their own education system. But South Africa has an education system, Helmut.
Mm-hmm.
And Cambridge that they brought in like in the 90s was of a lower standard of the South African standard that they had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to bring in Cambridge, for example, there were the term, remember when I explained to you the Bantustans?
Yeah.
Outside of the urban areas of South Africa, meaning the major urban zones, they had to bring in Cambridge for those schools. Not Cambridge into the established schools that were continuously producing the South Africans of the future.
Mm-hmm.
The South Africans of the future were running on the same system that our parents were running on since the 80s and 70s and the 60s. And they just kept perfecting and improving on that system. And somewhere here in between the 2000s, they merged everything together to find like a common ground of one single system.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, the private schools in South Africa have a system themselves. Then there's like the mainstream, still predominantly white school, government schools that have a government system. And then there's still some schools that still have a Cambridge access point. Now, do you see the confusion already? Three systems running in one country.
Yeah.
So the country doesn't know which one to technically give best preference to, but they already know which one they obviously give best preference to. If you've got a private school system where there's a school in Johannesburg, what's that school's name? I almost said St. Andrews. It's not St. Andrews. It's a school where it has produced most of the Springboks and most of the Proteas. So I'm talking about rugby captains and rugby stars. Cricket stars and cricket captains of South Africa, men, women, you name it. The school has a primary school. The primary school has a kindergarten. The kindergarten had a 5-year waiting list.
Jeez.
My sister told me the kindergarten had a 5-year waiting list. So if your child is 1 year today, you have to put your child on the list to this year for 5 years in the future when the kid has to go to pre-primary. Because the school has got such heritage, has got such a line of heritage. Now, Namibia does have such schools, Helmut. We do have such schools, but we don't cherish them in that sense because we come with this, I'll call it what it is, this warped socialist view of the government must carry all the responsibility of dispensing education.
Mm.
But when I look at the UK, when I look at even the United States, the Comas region carries the burden of maintenance of schools, maintenance of the facilities, ensuring that the parents are paying adequate taxes so that their kids access the school facility. And it's not a thing of it's bounced up to the central government, to the central ministry. So there's also a warped idea of responsibility. And then there's something else in some of the literature that I've read where the parents want, for some reason, people have to understand me, the government wasn't in the bedroom with the parents when the kid was, please help me understand this.
So glad I'm not the one who said that one.
Please help me understand this, guys. The government wasn't holding your hand while you guys were procreating. Please help me understand. Here, Dwight links today on Eagle. Please help me understand. Where did this notion come from that the government has to basically carry your child with everything, from school books to food to everything, through the kid's growth? Please help me, because I want to know what's the role.
Wait, I think that?
Yes, Hamoud. Have you never heard some of the discussions since you and I joined Eagle FM, how some parents literally debated here on air, in terms of the government has to literally raise the kid on behalf of the parents? I still want to know, where have the parents literally handed over their responsibility, their natural responsibility as parents, to look after their own kids?
Being a parent.
Yes, look after their own children. Because I have an aunt, she's still alive. I have an aunt. There was a time after we moved out of Rehoboth here in the 2000s, and she literally resigned, Helmut, from being a public school teacher in a primary school level in Rehoboth, because the parents were not even potty training the children. She had to potty train children 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. She had to potty train other people's children, complete strangers' children, because the parents are not doing that. The child doesn't know how to use a toilet pot.
Ouch.
Yes. These are the realities that teachers face out in the in the. Okay, Hamoud, I was also told that us as men, we are not exposed to some of the realities that women are exposed to in the broader economy. And these are some of the realities that I have been exposed to just through testimony from other people in terms of the things that forced them out of their job. Now, remember, the lady, this aunt of mine, she's a cousin of my mother, she, at that stage, she was already in her 50s. She was already in her 50s, here in the mid-2000s, here somewhere.
Yeah.
She was already in her 50s. No, I'm lying. The time when she told that was in 2021 at my other aunt's funeral. She was already in her 70s. So that means here in the 20-teens. Yeah, from 2010 this way.
Yeah.
She was literally like closer to her retirement age. And she was like, I can't take it. I can't take. How do you send a six-year-old to school? The six-year-old doesn't know how to use ablution facilities. So parents of Namibia today, whatever skin color you are, whatever ethnicity you are, you must come and explain to the country, why must the teacher potty train your child? What are you doing at home?
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
I'm definitely not going to raise anyone's child like that. I'll dispense what is needed, and I'll say, sharp Owens, I want to see the test tomorrow. No, we're going to do this meritocracy. You know, we're going to install meritocracy here. We're going to do that Stanford experiment. We're going to see who's going to outperform, and we're going to see who's going to be losing out. Because I'm not gonna get on that level.
Yeah, you know, the good thing is even when I was a teacher, I was in secondary, so I didn't face that. You know, dealing with people
were probably certain things that you observed, which you hoped that the kids, those teenagers, already knew. Because there were some things you probably would have seen, for example, behavioral.
There was someone who literally, stabbed the HOD. It was a whole police case.
Now, ask yourself...
with the knife.
How does such situations happen? You know, why are we having the movie Gangster's Paradise in school?
I have no idea why.
Okay, I was in a school where we had literally two gangs on the school.
Gangs.
Teenage boys. When I got here in 1999, I didn't know. I thought gangs were just movie things, you know, and it pastimes of teenage boys who were trying to feel in them, you know, just their testosterone running wild in their brain cells. Come to Windhoek, and I've literally got two of the gangs. One of the gangs of these two gangs were literally affiliated to one gang in Karatura, an actual underworld formal institution. And I was like, what? This is what we've got going on here? My younger brother went to, what's that school's name in Hoogland Park? Hoogland High. Ne? My aunt was the principal for a while. Yes, guys, I have a lot of aunts. So don't worry. I won't mention names.
My aunt, don't worry.
My aunt was the
principal. We all have a lot of aunts.
My aunt was the principal then. She explained one day to my mom, because my mom asked her one day, listen, dude, what are the stories that my son are telling me? Because my brother came home every day, the brother after me, the younger one. And he would tell my mom every day. Every day the police was summoned to the school because of drugs that are being traded on school premises. So the aspect in terms of juvenile behavior, which is obviously something that comes through from the household level, are things that we're not sorting out. Because we wish to have model citizens. Okay, now that I realize it, that is not something that even any minister and even the presidents have ever used. A model citizen. A model citizen. Remember what I told you, what the other group members of mine to the trip to China asked our chaperones, the two Chinese ladies.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, their names were Perfume and Summer. I kid you not.
Glad I'm not. I wasn't part of that.
Those are just the English translations.
That would not have gone well.
So, all the ladies on the four ladies that I also interviewed, basically for the China corner, they asked Perfume because they're all mothers. They asked everybody basically were mothers. They asked Perfume, you know, what is your school education system like, and what do you guys teach your kids from grade one? Because, you know, we were all us Namibians, we were just impressed. Left, right, and center by the city of Nanchang. And then Perfume highlighted that that grade one, grade two, grade zero, that level there, mm-hmm. from the age of six or five, the children get taught morals and the law of the country, meaning the constitution of the country, what to do, what not to do,
mm-hmm.
and morals, how to be a model citizen. I have not seen that anywhere in an African context. We are fixated on skills development, but the character, the individual,
is the foundation of those skills for them to be applied in a in a good way.
For good.
Yeah.
And then you go look at the particular circumstances the kid has to live in, and then you look at the kind of parents that the kids have at home. Now you have to ask yourself a discussion: is this going to be another child lost to circumstances, personal circumstances that they're not in control of, which is most likely. And then the scenarios that I just described to you, like when I came here, when we moved here to Windhoek, what I found here in Windhoek, and when my younger brother started high school, what he found at that high school, because that high school was like newly formed, Helmut. It was literally began the year before. They were operating firstly out of, what is that primary school's name in Auckland Park? Not Orban, the other one. Emma Wuchenhout. Yeah. They were operating out of Emma Wuchenhout's, one of the school blocks of Emma Wuchenhout's property, you know, in that scenario. And that particular scenario highlighted to people, you know, there's an established primary school that had an established, also an established cultural identity as well. Yes, cultural is there as well. An established cultural identity as well. But then this universe, this high school, I almost said university, this high school addition is added onto the premises of said school, same primary school with its same rich history there in Auckland Park. And it seemed like all the bad seeds are collected at that school. Yes, I'm calling other people's children bad seeds. Because for some reason, I've only seen the worst of teenagers. I'm really sorry, guys. So the goals are multiple. For some reason, the government is not highlighting to parents, we want model ideal citizens. This does not mean send the child continuously or expose them only to church, because there are also crazy people in churches. Don't worry, guys. I know them as well. We've all seen them. And in many cases, they're from my gender, and sometimes also from the nice opposite gender sometimes.
And in many cases, he's a pastor, a deacon.
Yeah. And in other situations, you know, and then you just hear stories. That's all I can say, is that you just hear stories. So when we look at these particular talking points, I want to know, Helmut, as well, because I've obviously sort of like run with the subject into a completely different direction now. I also want to know from the fellow Namibians out there. Guys, if we have to make a success of this education system of Namibia, this AS level Schutterse, what kind of an individual are you sending to school? What future individual are you raising at home? That's all I want to know.
So charity begins at home.
It's not even charity, Helmut. It's work at home. It's literally that thing. Work at home.
In 2024, you know, the reason why I'm, maybe just call it a proponent of everything, not just the AS level, but any advanced qualification that may be, proposed to be added to the Namibian education curriculum.
Mm.
I'm most likely than not going to be a proponent of that qualification, because when we look at, first of all, we want to be part of the overall African Union community, part of the SADC community, part of, a part of the global community, whatever, we have a lot of diplomatic and economic relations with other blocs.
Yeah.
Now, that means the education system that we have is going to produce the people that will represent that us in our relationship with China, Ghana, Nigeria. South Africa, well, the US, Canada, Russia. Now, our education system is going to produce those people.
Mm.
If we have those people that are, if the people that are going to represent us in these endeavors are studying outside, then that will put a lot of question marks on what that says about the education system.
Yeah.
Which doesn't draw a very good picture. Now, in grade 10, my class teacher and English teacher was a Zimbabwean, Mr. Sidambe.
Mm.
And at some point, I remember it was August. It was just an ordinary lesson.
Mm.
He came with equivalent to a grade 7 English homework.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically an English lesson. We were struggling like crazy. Mm. And rightfully so, he was laughing at us. Like, guys, this, we are in high school. This is a primary school curriculum.
From Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look up the advancement and basically high ranking qualifications of education systems, on the African continent,
mm.
Seychelles has a way of coming up at the top, like most of the time. Now, in the top 10, you have Botswana is there, you have Zimbabwe is there, you have South Africa is there.
But you will not hear Namibia is there.
That's why I'm saying any qualification that will be proposed in Namibia to advance Namibia's education, education curriculum, that, believe it or not, is a good thing. You can't complain because it's difficult. Because if you want easy, then forget about research and development and forget about industrialization.
Forget about robotics, forget about AI, forget about data centers even.
Yeah, forget all that.
Forget all that, Hamoud. This doctor that I highlighted, like I mentioned, that I interviewed, when I read her particular profile that she shared with me, and which said she studied at two universities in the UK. Now, these are some of the particular things. Okay, there's nothing wrong with where she studied, but mm-hmm. she went outside and she was exposed to a higher level of education, in terms of the education, sort of like training that they compact for you, because you must meet that level.
Yeah.
You must meet that level. It's not. Okay, there's another joke, but I don't want to make that joke right now. Otherwise, people will wait for me at the gate. But it's not a scenario of saying,
seriously,
go and study a one-year course. Let's, for example, say, in another part of the world, just to experience studying there and just to say that you've got
studying
this
abroad.
Yeah, that you've got this level on your, this level of education on your, you know, on your career path.
Yeah.
Myself as well, I also have to highlight, I'm not saying that the degree plus the diploma that I both received, you know, is sort of like adequate itself, because they come, I'm a product literally of this education system in Namibia. But it doesn't mean I'm not blind to viewing the quality of the education or the quality of inputs that were put in from the side of the government and the side that I wanted to try to achieve on my end in terms of the standard of understanding or the level of understanding the work or being able to absorb the work and being able to do processes. Because I'll show you something else, Helmut.
Yeah.
Here in the office, it was before you joined the Free Your Mind, but here in the office, colleagues here were sort of like excited about the metaverse that Mark Zuckerberg invented.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
I will always use that example because I will always throw it in there. But before that, we've got an ad break.
Matuka fika kwa ShopRite mowa o big low price carnival konda doni neno kupita kamana mini mangashi o platinum digital air fryer jo nene wali tira khamano shuman khaman o turma sir gwe no mino gwe no gwe no sendo mino gwe no gwe o tokeri mana wa ipeni konda ndo ilingo ningi o kharmo masir gali zoko zi wa yones cafe classic roast in stand o turma shike tira no mino gwe ntatu na ntano no sendo mino gwe no gwe ziriko se gwa kheri ga yoni nuvo o ko ShopRite akuki ishewe o dobro kusindana kamwe komu utembo masiregali no mirongo ntano landa itatu nenga winji mini matei kusa ombinga usindane mo ShopRite big low price carnival ethi gasano otari hurumu gaheri gayoni o mpago na mautho o zina okorandurwa.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared. Laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager. Now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere, countrywide, to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Well, we want to develop like, you know, we want to develop like other countries, but well, guess what one of the requirements of developing like those other countries? The education system must be top tier.
I'll explain to you top tier.
Mm-hmm.
I recently watched, what's the guy, the mayor of New York, Zoran Mamdani. His father wrote, my sister did was political science as one of her, she did a double major situation. And she did political science. Now, she showed me Zoran Mamdani's father's textbook.
Yeah.
It was a textbook, Helmut, that the man wrote for his master's or one of his PhD levels. He wrote a textbook, and he got his qualification on that, his certification.
Well, people usually just do their thesis, and bro decided
his
to
his thesis was the textbook. His thesis was the textbook. Which is adopted in South Africa for the political science aspect. So
you can imagine the professor was like, I'll need your thesis on this one. Bro was like, okay.
No, at that stage when he wrote that textbook, he was already a lecturer in South Africa already.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, Zoran's father, Mahmoud Mandani, recently brought out a book. The book's name is Slow Poison. This is where he writes about that life in Uganda, specifically under Idi Amin.
Idi Amin, yeah.
The history of Idi Amin, and also how, you know, Museveni apparently became Museveni, because Museveni was one of his friends. This is now Mahmoud Mamdani.
Yeah.
So Mahmoud, now I watched the whole 1 hour book discussion. This I think it was on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I watched the whole 1 hour this book discussion because I was trying, because it piqued my ears in terms of, let me see what is the fanfare that my sister had about this, the knowledge, the history that this man has in his head.
Mm-hmm.
Mahmoud Helmut did O-levels in Uganda. O-levels was a British standard of education. The O-levels now, their aim was, as they say here, the O-levels primarily focused on, okay, the word they use here is on rote learning and final examinations, which many argued limited a student's ability to demonstrate a broader range of skills. Now, why I highlight this, because they changed, the O-levels came in from 1951, apparently, and it was phased out in the 1980s by the British standard, education standard, and then they brought in the GCSE, which is a General Certificate of Secondary Education. But the O-levels stood for the General Certificate of Education Ordinary Levels. So there was secondary, the word secondary dropped, substituted the word ordinary in the labeling. Now, Mahmoud explained Helmut in his sort of like brief history of where he went, because one of the places he studied in was in the US. Guess what, Helmut? He was a 17-year-old by the time he got to the US university. Here's a scenario. He technically wanted to he was initially studying engineering was it that he mentioned? But he was actually studying engineering before he decided, you know what, he wanted a greater challenge, and then he decided to switch over to political science and the humanities, basically. But he's technically a historian. Technically, he's a historian. If you listen to him. And if you've heard some of his books and the summaries that are written, he's technically a political historian, but a historian of Uganda, basically, because his parents were one of the people, were those Asians that were chased out by Idi Amin, was in the 70s or the 60s. He was part of that exodus, of that community from Uganda. Now, he also explained the discussion around the labeling that the British used for indigenous Ugandan and non-indigenous Ugandan, because it was a label that Idi Amin used against the other communities that were brought to Uganda by the British. Now, the whole scenario that I'm highlighting to you and the listeners here is there was a system that Ugandans at the time could adopt, could leverage, could make use of, to fit into any education and economy across the world. Let me say it again. There was a system that those O levels that the people of the time in the 60s and 70s could fit into any economy and education system, higher education system of the world. That listing that you mentioned just a few in the top five in SADC even.
Yeah.
Namibia is not there. Why is Namibia not there? If we're supposed to be proud of a product, of an export, of something, and the we are explained about resources we have, the most immediate resource we are supposed to strengthen is the human capital. Now, why is the human capital not the first resource that is highlighted as the most crucial resource to preserve?
The resource is there. If you look at the list from the 2024 list from Business Insider Africa.
Yeah.
I'm saying the resource is there because Namibia is ranked number 10 That is number 10 in terms of that's number 10 in terms of the best the education system that's considered the best. Now the thing is Namibia is number 10 on that list of the top 10 African countries with the best education system.
Mm.
But we are even higher in terms of literacy rate.
Mm.
Yeah, number 1 you have you have Seychelles. And you have Tunisia, Mauritius, South Africa coming in number 4. Number 5 is Algeria. Number 6 is Botswana. Number 7 is Kenya, Cabo Verde, Egypt. And you have Namibia ranking in number 10. Now, when you look at the literacy rate, Namibia is at 88.2%.
Yeah.
Now, Egypt, who is number 9, their literacy rate is 71%. And Cabo Verde is at number 8, but their literacy rate doesn't seem to be reflected here. But now Kenya comes came in at number 7. Their literacy rate is 78.7%. Botswana came in at number 6, but their literacy is 88%. Just put in mind, we are 88.2%.
Yeah.
We're even we're even higher than them when it comes to literacy rate. And you have Mauritius coming in at Mauritius coming in at number 3, and coming in number 2 is Tunisia, and in number 1, like I pointed out, is Seychelles. Now you just look at a few of this this list, and Seychelles is always coming up, you know, is always coming up as either number 1 or number 2, but most of the list that I went through, Seychelles is number 1.
Mm.
It's either second or, you know, coming in at number 2 or 3. It's it's South Africa is always trailing just behind that. Now, but the literacy rate is one that caught my attention when I was hang on a second. Literacy rate wise, now education itself is very spread across the, you know, across the country. It's just the quality of that education that we have to kick up a notch.
Mm. Which basically means the amount of work.
Yeah, which just brings us to the A level education, to the A level, to the AS level discussion.
Yeah. Just increase the work. Now, obviously, Hamoud, as a teenager, when we think of our particular own experiences in high school, we didn't like extra work.
No.
We.
Why do you think artificial intelligence is thriving to this day?
Especially under this, under the high school theme. So, we didn't like extra work, but it's also something in terms of highlighting how do you make this a selling point. Now, when you highlighted literacy, yes, just means can you count and can you read?
Yeah.
And can you pronounce the words, basically? The downside is, I'll give you the bad cop observation from the literacy
rate
assessment that you just highlighted there.
Yeah.
Why is the EU and Germany investing in Namibia's vocational training centers to increase the levels of a welder?
Again. You see that the level is not.
It's not at
the level in height to the point where it will enable one to participate
in the green industries.
Yeah, in the industries.
Yeah.
On the level that they are right now.
Not even in the oil exploration. They won't even be at the sufficient level for the oil exploration because the oil rigs, the guys need people underwater to weld things and to fix things. And apparently those guys, like we heard from the youth in Green Hydrogen, Green Hydrogen Monitor of last year when we did that discussion, that guy, the welder guy said, we're not at an adequate level. The training just stops and it just ends there. Now, let me ask this other question. Now, how did Namibia not realize that things advance? Who told anyone in Namibia that things, there's just a line, it just stops there? You can't advance past that. Who told people that the line is the plateau, the line is the border, the line is the end of everything. You can't train past this level. Who told Namibians this? Specifically the Namibians in the education system, in the public education systems, who told you guys this? Who put that mental block there? Because now, Germany wants to help Namibia. And yes, Germany is helping Namibia. Let's be honest. Germany is helping Namibia skill up Namibians. Not Namibians helping Namibians. It's not Namibian money. It's not Namibian government money. It's not Namibian, it's not even Namibian ideas. I mean, I even debated with what the one journalist who came and told me that supposedly that, what was the thing? That the whole green hydrogen is supposedly the former green hydrogen commissioner, James Mupe's idea. I said, don't lie, doch. Don't lie, doch.
Whose idea?
I won't mention the journalist's name, but we had a debate.
That's why I'm saying.
And we were this close to shouting on each other. And I told her, stop lying. You can't. Please explain to me, where did an accountant have a scientific idea to find a synthetic fuel? Where has an accountant ever had that?
Well, while balancing the books, obviously.
Nothing against Mr. Mnupe, but we just need to obviously look at capabilities that exist in the Namibian economy, Hamoud.
Mm-hmm.
Who showed up with this idea? The Europeans. Where did the Europeans come with this idea? Because they want to do away from their dependence on Russian oil and gas.
Before you start asking the question of who showed up with the idea, first of all, you have to find
out. We all know that it was President Geingob that showed up with the idea because he was the one doing the PowerPoint presentation to the whole country. And I was there looking at, oh, wow. I was even going like, oh, wow, look at this. This is wonderful. This is a good idea. And everybody was like, what is the president talking about?
Whose money is behind it?
Exactly. Straightforward.
That's a very simple question.
So thank you, Hamoud. Thank you. Thank you for simplifying it even further. Whose money is it?
That's how I look at most of, you know, all these projects. Every time, you know, I see someone in a suit and they're there explaining, no, we just came up with this idea, dude. You're just paid to present the idea.
You're just the MC, bruh. Just acknowledge your role. We know you're the MC.
Yeah, but
all.
Bravo. I mean, you are doing great in terms of acting.
Yeah.
But
we can still see through that.
Yeah, we can see through that. Look, I'm not blaming. If I was paid the same amount of money, chances are very high, I would make it even more dramatic. But I really love politicians.
Yeah,
I swear.
You're probably bringing a goat and a chicken over there and you say, hey, listen, guys.
Yeah, listen.
This is what you've got to understand.
Yeah. Green hydrogen. And then we just dive in. You know, one of the biggest challenge now that we have to face at the time where we want to up our education levels, you know, to build the minds that will run Namibia's industry and Namibia just overall. Tomorrow.
Ahmed, we can't run the industries with minds who barely show up to exams.
That's one of those negative issues that we have to deal with regards to Namibia, you know, to sort of like pushing Namibia's education system a level higher to the point where we can participate in global competition in the world of academics.
Yeah.
One thing that we have to face is again AI.
That's what I'm saying. How do you wish to participate in the realm of AI? Because what I've also realized is there's a mismatch in terms of how the political leaders of the continent somehow overestimate what we can do. I mean, if you want to be building your own cars, then make sure you go look at an education system that builds cars. If you want to make your own AI, go look at an education system that produces AI engineers. How do you just assume, you know what? We've got the education system. And then there's like 5 modules or 5 chapters missing from the actual schoolwork that the kid was supposed to be covering in order to actually know that field of work. Now the university has to waste time training those 5 extra chapters that they were supposed to learn on high school level in the first year of the university level. So your first year university level is all about catch-up work. That's how ugly it is, Hamoud. Catch-up work. So, yeah, and then there's the other ugly thing. The bridging courses.
The reason why I'm saying AI is, is how AI is being looked at, or more like a lot of experts in in human psychology and in neurology.
Yeah.
have reached the same conclusion with regards to the impact of AI on critical thinking.
Yeah.
That those two don't go hand in hand.
Definitely not.
Take for example one of my favorite philosophy, in the world of cars is Mercedes-Benz AMG's one man one engine philosophy.
Mm.
They basically explain it on their own website here. One man, one engine. This means every Mercedes-Benz AMG engine is carefully assembled by a single master engine builder from the ground up. And then they put their name and signature on top of that engine.
So it's hand-built.
It's hand-built. Do you have any idea how many parts that thing has?
Helmut, it's the same as the Koenigsegg engine when the Top Gear guys went to the Koenigsegg factory in Sweden.
Sweden, yeah.
And then they saw the car is hand-built.
From the ground up.
From the ground up. So you, as the customer,
yeah,
you put your order for a car and then they ask you, do you want to customize your car? And you say, yeah. And then they show you the list of features and sort of like, colors and whatever and bells and whistles. And you do your thing. Then they say, fine, just do your payment. Here's your invoice.
Yeah.
We'll build the car. Then they build the car. Then the engineer stands there putting the engine together. And it's not like it's another car company's engine that they buy and put in. No,
Bugatti.
They build the engine. The Koenigsegg engine was built by hand, by one man.
Right, in front of you. If you are willing to sit there and wait. But look, the thing is, there is...
Now, how do you explain this to a Namibian? And all I did was watch BBC on... What was this DSTV packages? That's all I did. I watched Top Gear on BBC. And I saw what... A consumer product is made from the ground up.
Now, take for example, critical thinking, not just in everything mechanics, but we are also talking about, electronics, and we are talking about, look at machinery, for example.
Yeah.
The level of critical thinking that's required in just building machinery and social interaction when it comes to legal drafting, for example. And South Africa actually set one terrible example with their AI policy. And that was just embarrassing on a continental level.
The Zapiro drawing of that AI policy.
With AI. Now,
apparently the picture said, let's ask AI to draft the policy.
When was that? Last month. The BBC put up an article that said the following. GPS ruined our sense of direction. Search engines weakened our memory. AI could do the same to everything from creativity to critical thinking.
Mm.
Years ago, this is the author basically pointing out. Years ago, I forced myself to start using AI as often as possible if I was going to be writing writing about it. I also had to use the technology, but an emerging crop of studies over the last year or so have me worried. Am I harming my brain in the process? Now, this is not harming your brain as in you are going to get some kind of sickness, but it's sort of like lowers your critical thinking. And this is understandable when you look at how the human brain works.
Mm.
Or not just the human brain, but the human anatomy works. What you don't use, you are going to lose.
Mm.
It's very simple. If you're not going to use it, you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
Now, take for example, you and I that don't do, contortions type of movement, like a gymnast, we have lost that ability to do that. But if for those that do gymnastics, for example, even in our age, I don't know how they do that, but, they can bend their bodies in ways that I cannot, at least not without breaking a bone or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we are now at a point where we want to push Namibia's education level to the point where we can compete globally, academically. Except now we are also talking about the implementation of AI in the education system that we should raise up. But the impact on critical thinking as far as the academic world is concerned, coming from a lot of experts, is that AI is most likely going to have the reverse effect on whatever it is that you would like to accomplish.
Yeah.
Now we have we want to implement AI and then roll it out, in schools, and we also want to up our critical thinking in our academics to the point where we have to participate in global competition. Those two seem more like to be going against each other. Now, how we are going to pull that off, I, for one, am looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Eckhard Müller, the former executive director, the late of NIMT, was known for one thing, at least, when I was. The one thing he hated finding you using a calculator.
Oh, my dad also hated that. My dad actually loved bragging in my face about I can beat your calculator even by a decimal point. Yeah. I was like, what? He said, yeah, Dwight, I'll show you. And then he does it, and you're like, okay, I had to use the calculator for me myself.
Yeah, look, the point he was making, his nickname basically was Back to the Basics.
Mm.
And his daughter was my math teacher.
Mm.
And she kept singing the whole thing. She kept singing the whole thing. And she was very, 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 she actually still is very good, very good with numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, then I ran into a math prodigy, a very good friend of mine now. We are in first year. Bro is failing of all subjects that anyone can fail at a technical university. He failed safety. That's like failing life skill and passing math in school. He failed safety. But while we were sitting in year one, he just participated in all other subjects.
Yeah.
But for mathematics, we were just sitting at the back going like, man, that's boring. When we were doing year one math.
Yeah.
Bro had, year one math was so boring for him. He had to be given year two math. That's what kept him busy.
No, that's good. I had to read just now, Helmut, where you were talking there about there's a Romanian mathematician who won the national lottery 14 times just through probability calculations.
And you are here crossing your fingers and praying, asking the pastor to pray for you. It's just
I mean, there are humans like this.
Yeah, they are.
They didn't know calculators.
Yeah.
So, in terms of the skills development element, I mean, you can clearly see where Elon Musk is trying to copy AI from. Not just him and Sam Altman, then, because probably they're not the best guys with work, basically mathematics, because you won't try to make something that replaces the human brain. You would actually cherish the knowledge of the human brain. Now, the downside here of what I'm outlining there is, Hamid, is that literally we're not increasing the capacity on the level in the ground. Because if you had to read statements that said 70% of learners showed up to write at least three subjects, showed up. It doesn't say that they passed the subject, the three subjects. It just says they showed up for three. Because to say 70% were graded for at least three subjects means you were present, you wrote, you sat down, you wrote the paper. You were documented or recorded as having showed up. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a recording for the other three subjects, then it technically means you weren't present or you technically didn't attempt the paper. So we have to ask this particular question. Are we proud of such English? If you understand the English that we read out to you or that we highlighted to you or quoted to you, are we proud to realize the fact in that English speaks volumes of the types of Namibians that we want to leave behind running this country?
Oh boy, do we have a lot to do.
I thought the education system was about to get somehow in order.
The whole AS level, if you ask me, is a good thing if we want to industrialize.
On paper, the thing sounds good. Because we now heard from a scientist.
Yeah.
A scientist saying, the thing sounds good. But you know what? Who were the people telling the kids not to finish even the advanced level?
Mm-hmm.
The parents. Because the parents are not convinced of the thing's value.
But you have to look at it in terms of global competition.
The scientist, the doctor said it herself as well. She also went and looked at this thing in terms of understanding it, and she realized, but this is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So on the basis of the communication level, what has the ministry been telling the parents? What has the ministry been communicating through the schools and the teachers to the children who have to then go and communicate it to the parents?
Here's one thing I can tell you I found very hilarious because, well, that's a coping mechanism for me.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention any names.
Don't.
But we had two parents meeting. Two parents meeting.
What? Were you in attendance with this person? Or...
I was a teacher at the time.
Oh.
A two parents meeting where parents failed to show up for a parents meeting. I'm like, okay, so hang on a second. I know that when your kids don't show up for school, at least I can call you and try to find out what's, if there's any problem that the kid is encountering and if there's any way that I can help. But when a parent is absent, who am I supposed to call? The ancestors? That's uncalled for.
That was a joke, Helmut. That was a joke on your side. A deliberate joke. Before we continue, guys, we quickly have to take a short live read and come back. The Vichy University highlights the NQA approval for the expansion of their scope. The Vichy University is pleased to inform all stakeholders that the Namibia Qualifications Authority, NQA Council, has approved our application for expansion of scope. This approval grants accreditation for the following NQF-registered qualifications, offered through full-time blended learning mode, at our university. This is Bachelor of Laws Honours, Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, and the Diploma in Legal Studies, Level 6. Velvicha University, where everyone is an achiever. So yeah, as we obviously see this particular development, dear listeners, happening. I mean, besides the obvious, the obvious curveball that Helmut threw there to us at the end about calling the ancestors for the parents to show up to the parents-teachers meeting. Do you know what I used to do, Helmut? And this is my mistake. This is my fault. This is me being naughty. I didn't want to bother my mom with parent-teachers meetings. So I never delivered the letters to her. In all honesty, the letters never said Dwight is doing stupid stuff. It never said that. It just said, please show up for these. So I never delivered the PTA notices to my mom because technically I didn't want him stressing. I did that particular part. People might think, Dwight, you were hiding something. But in all honesty, if you go and listen from your friends in terms of what happened at the PTA meetings, it was stupid stuff. Parents were arguing literally with the teachers about
whose fault it was, their kid
failed. Yeah, things like that. And if your kid is, your kid most. If your kid has dumb manners, then your kid has dumb manners.
Well, one thing I know is in some towns, I don't want to mention any names again.
Please don't.
They are parents for hire. If you get suspended, for example.
What? What?
They are parents for hire. If you get suspended and you know that your biological parents are going to kill you.
You do know that the teachers, the people who met your parents while they came to register you at this high school, they saw your parents.
Oh, you'll be surprised as to how many of them have very short memory.
No. You were not fooled. Just think of your own role in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a teacher, you were not fooled by whose parents is whose kid, which kid is whose parents' kid.
Dwight, you know that parents have a higher thing I'm telling you about.
Yeah?
Yeah, just talk to a couple of your friends. Don't worry. They will tell you a few stories about how important it is to know. Okay, now I'm giving terrible advice.
I wanted you to out yourself, Albert.
Yep.
I wanted you to out yourself. But yeah.
I have African parents who don't know any, they don't know statute of limitation. They find out today about something that, something I did in high school. They will still yell at me about it.
Mm.
But Dad, I have a beard. Yeah, you do, but mine is white. Mm. So I win. So 2 minutes into the hour of six, so more like 3 minutes into the hour of six, that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. And please do stay tuned for business and economic segment. The A level and is not the highest in terms of education qualification. From the information I was able to gather, at least on the, you know, on the from the UK high institutions, because we borrowed the much of our education qualifications from them. The AS level is in between, is it a GCSE or IGCSE and A level being the highest. Now, the A level that we are so, that we're complaining about or trying to find, you know, trying to wrap our minds around, it's not the end, you know, it's not the end of the line. After we are comfortable with this and everything is going better, we will have to kick it up a notch to the A level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's slowly but surely, but, well, we're going to get there.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's the word. Hopefully.
Hopefully we'll get there, Hamud.
Yeah. So, until Sunday.
Same here, also for me, until Sunday, guys. Let's see each other again, same time, not the same place. Okay, the same place. Aye, not the same time,
yeah,
but rather the same place here on Eagle FM. But stay tuned for the business and economic segment with, I almost said with Helmut, with David, with David, right after the show.